If you've ever tried to accomplish a job without the right tool, it's frustrating. You work harder and harder, but don't get much out of it. That's why the Bible Study Company was created. It's the right tool to help you study and enjoy reading the Scriptures. Powerful tools have been built into this resource to help regular pew sitters like you and me gain more understanding from what we read. Now, please join founders Rick and Mary Joyner as we dig deeper and find more meaning out of the Bible.
Good morning, everybody. This is Podcast for Pew Sitters.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here. Hope you are, too.
Well, we're having an interesting week, aren't we?
Yes, we are. It's been very strange. But what's new?
Yeah, what's new?
In our lives.
Well, since we've started this walk, I think you'll agree with me that since we've asked the Lord to learn how to handle His Word correctly, submit to it, and be a kingdom person. And I know in other podcasts we've mentioned what a kingdom person is, but do you kind of want to define that really quickly?
Well, I would say a kingdom person is somebody who is trying to walk in the ways of the Lord's commands, which are not walking by our agenda, but trying to find out what God's agenda is for our life.
Yeah, and I think when you say commands, people get confused with, we got to follow the law.
Right.
But we can't follow the law, and so without His help. So if He gives us an expectation, whether it's command, and I think you're meaning the command as the Word of God in general.
Exactly.
Yep. But I think it's good that you brought that up, because that was an interesting thing for us after a while. But
it's a thing for me with command works well for me, because my tendency is to want to, I'm a very caring, loving person, and I want to be able to see all sides of something. So it's easy for me to kind of sway off into, well, you know, the Lord loves them and, you know, loves me, and that's okay, to me coming to a place in my life where I'm going to look at His Word as a command on my life. And if I agree with it or not, I'm going to follow the Lord's purpose for my life is to be, however imperfectly, and that's where it comes in with grace, that when we get to a point where we realize we can't follow, we sin every day. Mm-hmm. And if we don't do it outright, we do it in our hearts. And that's where the reality of my Savior, the King of this universe, my Father, the one that created me.
Out of his word,
breathed life into me, has given me a path to walk, and I need to walk it.
Mm-hmm. Well, He breathed life into us in two areas. One, when we breathe the air, that's mm-hmm. physical, and spiritual, when we accepted Jesus Christ for the atonement of our sins.
Exactly.
In other words, the payment. Because in technicality, nobody's going to like when I say this, but if we took the Ten Commandments, we've all broken them, and we're criminals before God. And this is His world mm-hmm. and His heaven mm-hmm. that we're going to go to. It's His agenda. Mm-hmm. And that's really the core of what this message is about.
Well, and understanding that comes to mind right now is the horrid things that we've all done outwardly and inwardly, and that reality of what God has done for us in sacrificing His only Son so that we could have complete wholeness again with Him. And that spurs me on to want to serve and obey, not because of some law, but out of gratitude
and love.
Yeah. Yes, for my Father and my Creator.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting that you say that, because this love for us, for Him, is growing the more we obey Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
And it's taking, when you focus on that and obeying what the Lord has called you to do in your life, you're going to come across people who don't like what you're doing or assume that you're judging them for something that they're doing, when you're in reality doing what you're called to do before the Lord. And in those circumstances, even it's a learning experience of mm-hmm. how we need to have our focus on Christ and what he's called us personally to do.
Well, and that's interesting because last week in our podcast, you picked up on the garments were made. The Lord was speaking to Moses. The garments were made so that Aaron could minister to the Lord, not to the people, not to the tabernacle, not to some kind of religious. Our responsibility is to him, mm-hmm. and then he does the ministering to his people.
Right.
And we don't have to get on the hamster wheel of Christianity.
Exactly.
That's the thing that's strange about this. But our knowledge and love for God has grown because he's revealed more and more and more as we obey.
Well, what we realize, and what I hear some older Christians who followed the Lord and really been in the Word, and everybody's heard it, but they say the longer I live, the more I realize how little I know.
That's right.
And the more you give up your power to your Creator, because you realize that you're the createe, not the creator.
That's right.
And he knows better than we know about our own personal lives because he made us.
Yeah. And then now going back to my question to you about defining what a kingdom person is. So a kingdom person, in reality, based on what you said and what we've seen, is someone who is, that's also being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The disciples had him there, and we think we're in some disadvantage, but we aren't. We have the Holy Spirit and a full, complete Bible. Mm-hmm. So if you have problems with the Word of God or not believing in it, then there's so much online for you to find, it's not even worth discussing. Mm-hmm. But we are standing on his Word. It's his world. We are created in him, like we've heard Dr. Brooke say, and we've found to be true in our own life, he created us. That's my identity. So I'm a creation of his, and I'm going to obey.
And that's what a kingdom person is.
That is a kingdom person, and we're also concerned as a servant now mm-hmm. of carrying out his agenda. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, the next type of person is somebody in between. They've got their, depending on their growth level, wherever they're at, they've got one foot in or one foot out. But
basically a lukewarm.
You could say lukewarm too, but some people just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, they might really love God, but they might be on the hamster wheel of
Isn't
Christianity.
Isn't that what lukewarm is? I mean, when they say lukewarm, it's you're not saying there isn't a God. You're not saying that there's not God. You're just going to dabble in both sides because you're not ready to
submit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you have those who are in full opposition. Mm-hmm. So, and that's really what the Bible talks about. It talks about kingdom people, which are very few in number. Mm-hmm. Then you have a lot of people who are in between. And then you have a lot of people, most of the people are opposed to God. Mm-hmm. And so
I think we need to make a point that we need to make is that kingdom people are still sinners.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because a lot of times, if you are a kingdom person and you think that you're better than somebody else, you're sinning.
Yes. Now, the next part of this podcast is going to be on Scripture invading our lives. We've mm-hmm. decided that as we start to share with you guys, we'll get back to Exodus 2, but we want to share how God is invading our lives. Because if you think about Exodus, it's a picture of our Christian life, but it's also God invading their lives. Mm-hmm. So some people are obeying and some people aren't. So we said repentance is turning away from sin, but lining up with the agenda of God. Mm-hmm. So we're in Exodus 28, and you came across something today that made you quite emotional. It touched you very deeply. Would you like to share that? I hope you do.
Yeah, it was started in verse 36. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and shall engrave on it, like the engravings of a seal, holy to the Lord. And that just hit me. I mean, it just hit me in my face when I read that, because a seal is the seal of a king's ring, mm-hmm. or I mean, it's sealing something, it's closing it up. It's
what kings used to put on letters and wax and everything as an official document.
Right. So it says that, and then it goes on to say, you shall fasten it on a blue cord, and it shall be on the turban. It shall be at the front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall take away the iniquity of the holy things which the sons of Israel consecrate with regard to all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And that just kind of blew me away for a couple different reasons. For one, I have to really dig through and to understand what it means, but it brought up to me the great honor to actually be called to, all of us are called to be priests, mm-hmm. and minister to the Lord.
That's his purpose for us.
Right. And that we've gotten a letter, if you will, with a seal on it from the king, mm-hmm. You know, with an instruction, and the instruction is to point people
to Christ.
The king.
Yep. Point him to the king. Yep.
And
in other words, the holiness to the Lord is what you're saying is he's there ministering, saying, you get to the king, you obey the king.
Right. And then that's our job. That's how mm-hmm. we minister to the Lord. And then he ministers to the people.
That's right.
It's pretty powerful, and it's also something that sometimes I'm ashamed, because that's it's a wonderful calling that we all have that we take so lightly.
Right.
We forget.
Yes, and that's the point of this podcast today, is for everybody to be, because we are. This is invading our lives in a way that is quite interesting, because since we've been here, and here is in Tennessee someplace, since we've been here, we've had kind of a rough time of questioning whether we should actually be here. Certain events took place, but we had to really ask the Lord to help us, because what we're meeting is these wonderful Christian people, just absolute love God.
Yes.
But it's like, and we know because we were a part of this, it's like everybody's on, I call it can I say it? It's like the hamster wheel of Christianity. Mm-hmm. You got to get to the teacher that you like, which scripture says it tickles our ears, but nobody would say, oh, well, he's not tickling my ears. Well, but why are we there? They're investing their lives going into these to help support these ministries. But rarely is anybody studying scripture to obey it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be a part of any ministry or anything like that.
Right.
But go ahead.
Well, I think it's just, you don't know. The thing is, if we're going by our own selves of being Christians for so many years and barely studying scripture, doing a devotional and counting on going to church and having the pastor give a sermon and saying, oh, that was good, and going home.
Yeah.
You know, that it's the majority of how we operate, you know, as people.
Right. And that's why a lot of kids watch their parents go to church and live like the rest of the world every day. They somehow, there's a disconnect between us personally, you and I, as a regular believer. I want to have a relationship with God, and church is for me to fellowship with people of like mind. Mm-hmm. But our job is to minister to the Lord by obeying him.
Right.
And that's what this is. And that's why I think you were so emotional about this, because that seal is from the king, and like you were talking about, but it's on the priest's mind. And as we studied, and we were praying this week about these things, we're to take the clothes that were put on Aaron, and there's an interesting distinction because Moses didn't need the clothes. Mm-hmm. He was already obeying the word of God. He was already a priest.
Yeah.
And Aaron needed the outward clothes to point to Christ. Mm-hmm. Whether, I don't know what his heart is, but you'll see later on in Exodus that he was struggling with obeying God. Mm-hmm. He actually made the golden calf for the people out of pressure for them. But the thing is that whatever that is, we need to look at those garments and we need to say, Lord, how do we respond to you? And that's our mission in Bible Study Company, is not to chase the latest book, is not to chase the hamster wheel of Christian service or whatever you want to call it, but to chase the word of God and his agenda.
Right.
And what's interesting is, they talk about the holy gifts that you picked up. You were stuck on that. It's like, why the iniquity of the holy things that the Israelites conquered? And I think there's something there, but we need a little more time. But I suspect that because we don't obey God, but we do this church stuff, and we're doing chasing the latest things, and we ourselves are not obeying the word of God.
Because we don't know the word of God.
That's right.
I mean, that's what has happened to me over the years. I mean, there's this, I love God. I know that I'm saved. There's this innate thing for me to do what's right. But I just did a few little devotionals here and there. I didn't dig into and really understand and translate it correctly, find the places you can go to, you know, and the things that you can do to translate the word correctly, to know the historical background, to know all these different things that bring life to it.
And pray for his course, revelation.
Yeah. Constantly. I mean, we've, you know, that's how it's revealed to you what truth is. It can be very difficult even doing that to maneuver between quote unquote Christianity. And there is nothing new under the sun. This isn't the first time it's happened that all this stuff seeps into the Christian walk where things are being accepted that are not of God. And we have to know how to maneuver between that. And we have to stand for, just like the disciples did, I'm grateful that we're in the United States, because our persecution is, well, you're a bigot if you believe this, or you're, even if you're treating people nicely, but you disagree with them, you're still a bigot.
And
that's persecution, but that's not, you're not getting your head cut off or put in jail yet anyway. But I think of the people who really are in jail and getting mm-hmm. their heads cut off and their children murdered and all these things just because they say they believe Christ is their Lord and Savior. So, you know, that's a big thing when you look at the plate put on your head that you need. I mean, that's a big command plus a big word picture of what you need to do as far as always having that seal that we're sealed by the blood of Christ, and always having that in our foremind that we can walk and go to him and study his word and maneuver through all the crazy things that go on in this world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we need to look at the turban, just a few little pieces of this, mm-hmm. but the turban was white, right? Yeah. And which white represents righteousness, mm-hmm. purity.
Yeah.
Okay. So on the head, we need to have that. And that's, I think, why Paul is saying we need the renewing of the mind mm-hmm. through the scripture in Romans. But also, it's a gold plate and it's seal stamped, you know, from the king, in mm-hmm. a sense, and make it like an engraving. So then it's wrapped with blue, and now it's gold. And the interesting thing about gold is that in scripture, according to Dr. Brook, it can represent refinement, because it's been refined so many times to make it pure that it kind of represents divinity. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, you've got holiness to the Lord. That's, I think, the thing that was touching you the most, because we need to have that on our mind. That is pointing us to the king, because holiness to the Lord means being separate to him.
Right.
Which means obeying him and ministering to him.
Right. Set apart from the world.
Set apart from the world. We hear that, though, in Christian mm-hmm. terms. What does that mean? Because we've got the world all around us.
Right.
And what it means is, like we were talking about this morning before the podcast, we have to set our hearts to be his kingdom and be his in kingdom. Doesn't matter what Christians do. Doesn't matter what the latest book is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how much prosperity you have. If we look at anything about prosperity, everything that we have, we've given to the Lord at the cross, because mm-hmm. it could all be gone tomorrow.
Right.
It's his.
Well, and I think it's interesting because with the whole prosperity gospel thing that people preach, that's their view of what they think is being prosperous.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, that's, well, the Lord wants me to have this and this and this, or, you know, that's called a blessing. Well, if that was true, then Christ would not have come the way that he came.
That's right.
That was the least thing, and he never was prosperous from a financial standpoint, because that's not what it is.
And he's the kingdom of the universe.
Yeah, having
the king of the universe.
Having the blessing of the Lord isn't how much money you have, or how much, in their mind, the Lord's, you know, everybody should be prosperous. Or they'll say, well, if nobody's prosperous, how can the kingdom move on? How can churches do their thing? How can they minister the same way that
Christ did?
Yeah.
Through dependence on God.
The power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's not about money, and it's very tempting. Tempting thing.
Well, yeah, because that's going after the world. The world says, we are raising our children. We raised our children. You can be anything you want. Get a career. Make sure you do that. What did we accidentally teach them? Get money.
Mm-hmm.
No, we need to teach them to be obedient to the Lord. And I think right now, I'm just going to say this because I want to respond correctly. And Lord, please help us to raise our children to be obedient and have a relationship with you, because that's what really matters. That's what life is. And the puzzling thing is, like we were talking to a pastor, we want to find people who want to walk a praiseworthy life. We get so excited when we're talking. We ran into this pastor, and he wants to build disciples. He's a kingdom person. But he also said, all these denominations exist. They all have their thing. And why can't we just, why can't we just all get along? That's not what I'm saying. Why do we need all of that? He's now scrapping all the stuff that he's learned. Dr. Baruch said the same thing when he went to seminary, only about 25%. He's going, this man and Dr. Baruch and us, we're trying to go straight to the Word of God. And when we find out what he wants, like today, we need to have holiness to the Lord in our minds to respond to him. These garments are important for us to know, because he's called us to be a kingdom of priests, mm-hmm. ministering to him. We need to know what kind of clothes these clothes are pointing to Christ, but we can respond too. But his comment, Mary, was so powerful to both of us, is that somehow we need to like clean the slate off, get rid of all these doctrines and go straight back to the Word of God. Go
right.
And the denominations, clean them off.
Yep.
And that's, I think, the call of the people of God who want to be kingdom people, mm-hmm. you know, who want to obey God.
Well, the Word of God is life. It brings life. And some people don't agree with that, but I hear stories. Somebody the other day mentioned that they sat beside an older gentleman who was dying and could hardly talk anymore, but they mm-hmm. but read scripture to him, and it brought life to him. You mm-hmm. know, I mean,
we're made out of this.
Yeah, that's what we're made out of. There's a reason that happens.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because we learned, you know, the people in Exodus were fed by manna, and we kind of over-spiritualized that.
Mm-hmm.
That was the bread from heaven. Christ was the bread from heaven. But he's also the Word of God. So
it's interesting, though, the manna, they ate it, but they ate what he provided, not what they probably wanted. I mean,
that's,
it's like,
well,
oh, great, this is, you know.
Well, we'll find that out, because they wanted a bunch of stuff.
But, I mean, is that any different than
me? I'd want Culver's from heaven.
Is it any different than them today. It's like, well, I want your word, Lord, but I only want what I want to from it, not what you're bringing to me. I just want to eat this part of it or that part of it, and I don't want the rest because it doesn't taste good or it's not what I don't agree with that.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you picked up is, I think a lot of the people, a lot of the ministries that want to be super flashy and grow, my view is, you know, if whatever God's called somebody to do, but for us, we want people who we want to meet people and talk with them about how do we live a praiseworthy life to God.
Right. I think if a ministry grows really big and they're pointing to Christ and the Word of God, yep. Wonderful.
My guess is it's not.
If it grows really big and it's not pointing to Christ and it's not teaching the Word of God to be the priority, not good.
Right. So
doesn't mean if you have a big church that you're not doing that. I mean, I don't want to give that impression. If it's a big church and it's growing, but growth doesn't always mean blessing.
Yeah, and if you're going to go through those doors and go live the way you want, you should probably check, because you don't want to be in the in-between person. Mm-hmm. You don't. I'm going to go back to man real quick. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is, we struggled with that. You know, like, why did the Lord say, instead of making bread out of stones when he was in the temptation, because all the temptations, if you look at them, take us away from the dependence on God. That's what that was about. Mm-hmm. We need to always be dependent. But the point was, I kept asking the Lord, what does that mean? We should live on the bread that proceeds from the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. That's what we should do. And Christ even said that to the woman at the well, my food is doing the will of my Father. So what is it? And then it dawned on me when I was praying about it that we're made out of this word. Everything that's existing in this world is God's kingdom and rulership. Mm-hmm. You know, he told Job, he just hung the world in the middle of no place. So I think that's such a powerful picture of who's this world really is.
Right.
And so the other thing is, in this holiness to the Lord, there was a couple other things that made you really emotional about it, as far as how do we connect to the King? How do we walk this out would be a great thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Rick and Mary, you saw that. You've got some experience with this, but how do we walk this out? What's practical?
I think that for me personally, the practicality of it is rolling around in my mind throughout the day what I've read in Scripture and how I can respond to it.
But not like in a works thing, like response. It's like, what can I do next, right?
No.
Yeah. It's like you're eating on it all mm-hmm. day. It's
yeah, chewing on it. That's mm-hmm. what I always say. I'm chewing on this Scripture because it's bugging me and I don't understand it, you know. And being able to share and talk with other believers, which is so wonderful, because the Lord, he created us with the Word of God being our living substance. So if we are talking to somebody else who's doing the same thing, we're a community of believers, and it's very satisfying.
It's like energizing, but it's a different kind of energizing. It truly does like feed you in a sense. I don't know how to, I'm not getting fed from some pastor. And I don't mean to say that in a negative way. I'm getting fed by the fellowship that we have with people mm-hmm. who are kingdom people that want to see God's kingdom built, mm-hmm. not in buildings, not in the next latest, greatest book or the next move of God. I'm not chasing any of that. I'm chasing the King.
Right.
You know?
Right. And the pastors that are digging into the Word and teaching the Word of God and viewing it as the living bread for their people are pointing to Christ. That's what they're doing.
Yep, that's exactly right. So Scripture invaded our life in the last week and a half, and one of the things that we'll tell people this is, by studying Exodus, because it's a picture of the Word of God in our life, and it's our Christian life, if you want to call it that. Well, we had a situation where our house, something could have happened to our house badly. And it was really interesting. It could have cost a lot of money, a lot of money. And Mary and I really, when you're going through a trial, one thing we've learned in Exodus is we're not going to, when you get scared and you can get angry at whoever and whatever, especially if you have no control over it and there's so many possible outcomes and ways that you could go that could cost lots of money or little money, but you got to do what's right because we have to be stewards of what God's given us or what we have. And so it came a time during this week that even though we prayed, I had to get on my face. And I mean, literally, we do that. We don't like to tell people that we're doing that because we don't want people to think we're some kind of holier than thou or whatever. But when you feel like you are under God's care, then get down on your face if you have to and worship him. And even though things might be going really badly, tell him how appreciative you are. He has the way through. And it takes almost everything in your heart to even do that.
And to reject all the feelings that go through your mind, for me anyway, the doom and gloom and the being afraid and, you know, did we make a mistake, you know, buying this or that? Did we not hear from the Lord? All those things that go through
We thought we heard from you. We did something in prayer and fasting, and now it's going badly. And what did we do wrong? Did we hear right? Did we not hear right? The best place to be is on our face. We're not going to be the children of Israel and complain against God, complain against ourselves.
Try not to be.
Try not to be. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, I just will tell you that one of the pictures that I had on our, you know, you guys have the Lord's Prayer outline. And as I went for a walk by myself, Mary had to go someplace. And we have this beautiful house and it's nice and white and clean. And we think it's beautiful anyway. And the foundation is solid. In other words, our lives are based in Jesus Christ because that's the only path. I don't care what anybody says. Everything else is works. Christ came and said no works to get to heaven. Here's a free gift. It's only one. The next thing is, what's wrong? Well, there's something infesting the house. And the sense I had was, I need your help, Lord, to get this out. We need to get it out, and we need to get it out correctly. And we saw it as a picture after I shared with you. And you said, that's right. We need the Word of God to fix
us.
That's right, because we can look good and sound good and do that and have the right foundation as a Christian, but rot from the inside.
Right.
We can be destroyed if we don't continually put our hearts, you know.
Well, if we're spiritual beings and God created us that way, we need spiritual food to survive. You know, that's how I look at it. We need physical food. And like I always say, there's a physical and a spiritual. The physical while we're here is that we actually have to eat food and drink water to survive, or we die in our physical body. But you always say the dehydrated soul, we have to have spiritual food to keep our spiritual body fed in this world.
That's right. Yeah. So what ended up happening is I need to report after us taking Psalms, we even took some Psalms, we opened them up and read them back to the Lord. And not a formula. This is actual worship. We take the Psalm, break it down, but sometimes we just can't find words. We just can't. And those Psalms are a big help for us. And not saying that we had any comfort after that, but no miracle happened except for we put it in the Lord's hands. And all of a sudden, the next little while, these events started happening, and the giant cost that was going to happen is literally whittled down to minimum. There's nothing that we did.
And everything was getting taken care of in the crawl space.
Yeah. And yeah, they have crawl spaces in Tennessee. Anyway,
that was just to fill you in a little bit. It ended up being some mold and inaccurate. What would you say?
HVAC,
yeah,
heating
that needed to
heating
be
and air conditioning
taken care of so that it was ventilating properly. So it did get taken care of.
Yeah, and we were able to do it in such a way that there were no dead bodies.
Yeah, except for you and I. You'd have a good moment and I'd be, you know, ready to pack up my bags and take off like this. And then you'd have a down moment and I'd be, you know, like, well, this is going to be fine. So, but thank goodness we both had our father to go to, who's probably wanting to slap both of us upside the head.
Well, and the thing is that we were pinned in because we already own the house and the house needs to be fixed. We can't leave it there. And
you can't sell it the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Lord pinned us in. And, but it caused us to be dependent on Him.
Just, I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of stories on these podcasts.
Yeah.
In the next few months with, you know, what we're learning. We're in a new, you know, it's a new venture for us, you know, so there's a lot of things that are being, you know, when you're out of your comfort zone, what you're used to.
We're in Cleveland, Tennessee, and there's a wonderful Christian community here.
Right.
And it's very diverse of denominations.
But also away from family.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, we're away from family.
You know, you find out, and we're fortunate to be able to go back and forth, but I've had to deal with things like that, like because of my, you know, missing kids and grandkids, there's, even though I get to go back and forth, there's that thought of, what if I did get called? What about the missionaries? What if I did get called somewhere away from it? Am I willing to not have my family be my idol if God called me to do something?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, those are some of the types of things that I have to go through personally and learn, you know, as a mom and a wife and just being a woman of, you know, a nurturing woman so I have a feeling there'll be some good podcasts coming out of that. And I just pray that the Lord, you know, helps me through those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think as men, you know, we kind of lean on you guys to give us some balance. But at the same time, I'm also realizing that I've got to, as both of us, we're going to have different perspectives. She's going to have the more relational type of stuff, and I'm going to have the more logical, whatever. She's very logical more than me. But the key is that we're human beings. We have a lot of feelings, and I'm not going to say that I don't. And when I get angry, I have to work through, you know, and we've been attacked a little bit, but God has been very faithful in it. Mm-hmm. And you want to respond to this stuff, and we don't need to defend ourselves.
Right.
And it's a test on us, you know. And so that's, we kind of want to do these podcasts as sort of scripture and what we're kind of learning. And if that's something that you really like, let us know. We don't, to be honest with you guys, we don't hear much from anybody. A few people call us. But it would be really nice if you could post on the blog or post on our Facebook or whatever, so that we could know what you're thinking and what you'd like to hear. If these don't mean anything to you, but from what folks have said, it does. But we appreciate everybody that's listening. We're not asking for anything, but we would like a little feedback if you could.
Yeah, that would be nice just to know if we're, you know, if we're doing what we, if it's helpful for anybody. For me, it's wanting to, because we talk about being the pew sitter, it's your everyday, like I say, average Joe, that's a Christian that's trying to walk this walk out with God and revealing some of the everyday things that happen in people's lives and how God intervenes and how we can have a different mindset of going to the Lord and seeing how He plays a part in this.
Yeah, and I think we could literally wrap this up by asking a couple questions of everybody that's here. And that is, how are you going to minister to the Lord? No eyes outward from that. meaning don't look outward from that. That's the hard part. Mm-hmm. How are you going to minister to the Lord? How is your family going to minister to the Lord? How are you going to teach your children to not pursue the American dream in the world, but to pursue God and He'll provide? Mm-hmm. That's not easy to do. And how are we going to put the garments of a priest on that Jesus Christ put on? Because He was holiness to the Lord, and that blue cord is being focused on heaven. Mm-hmm. In other words, focused on what He wants as a kingdom person for us to do.
Because that's our real home.
That's our real home. This is just, we're going to walk out of this tent, mm-hmm. and that's the gift of God.
Yeah.
And people can listen to our podcast and say, oh, you know, I can go to my church and live how I want to. Well, no. Go to the Word of God and find out how you're supposed to live.
We're not telling somebody, go, you know, if you do what you think you need to do. What we're saying is, if you believe that you're created by what we believe, the Heavenly Creator, then go to your Creator and feed off of His Word.
That's right.
Because that's the blueprint for us while we're down here.
Right. And if you want to be a disciple, they follow Jesus Christ, who was the Word of God. If you want to be a disciple today in this environment, because they were a disciple in their environment, they didn't know the end of the story like we did for them. We don't know the end of the story for us, except we'll leave this body at any moment and step into His kingdom, and that's where judgment takes place. Mm-hmm. So it's His world, His kingdom, and we have a choice.
Like it or not.
So let's pray for everybody and pray for ourselves. Father, I just want to tell you how much we love you, and our love just grows, and it just burns in our hearts the more we learn about you and obey. We are sinners while we're here. And I don't mean that in some kind of religious thing. My motives are not the best sometimes. Only you know. So we come to you as priests, each one of us, to minister to you. And we take our hearts right now and we just hand them to you. We give you our eyes, we give you our ears, our body, everything. And we say, can you lead us? You want us to be a kingdom of priests. Can you teach us? Can you help us? Help us with your word. We don't have to be super trained in theology or anything. We just have to have a heart that wants to come to you and obey. And you know what? It'll be hard because you'll say, no, this is a sin. Well, no, other people are telling me it's not. No, this is a sin because you say it's a sin. You change my heart. We can't do anything other than that. And so we just want to tell you, and now I'm going to give it to Mary.
Lord, I just thank you for giving all of us the opportunity to be priests. It's so overwhelming to me, and I actually ask forgiveness for taking it lightly sometimes. And
me too.
Not being honored the way that I should, that I actually received something from the King, and it was sealed. And I pray for anyone who wants to serve you, Lord, who wants to know more about you, that they would open their hearts and their minds and open their Bible and start reading and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to them. And then as they hear you and read your word, that you would give them the strength and the ability to obey. And as they do that, more would be revealed, one step at a time.
Amen.
And I just thank you for us having the opportunity to do these podcasts. And I pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on my life and my husband's life, my family's life, and for all those out there who want to serve you and do your will. And even if they don't, Lord, I pray your kingdom would come and your will would be done
on them. And I'm going to add one thing. And Lord, I just ask that the people who are listening and the people who are encountered by this, I hope people will share this, but the people who are listening to this that are angry at you and angry at the church and angry at people, I was like that. Would you turn their hearts around to focus only on you? Those people don't determine their destiny. Those churches don't determine their destiny with you. You can bring healing about all that. You did for me. And I would just ask that you would help any of those not look outward, but look to you and not be in rebellion to you any longer. Sure. Because that's what it is. It's bottom line. And I have great compassion because I was there and I know. And you healed me and you taught me what grace is. It's not being on the list of the great, latest, greatest things to have to do to so that I can please you. It's I'm pleasing because I accepted your son and his salvation message for us. And he forgave our sins because I was a criminal. And Lord, we love you and appreciate you. Bless everyone today in a real way with a kingdom experience.
Amen.
Yep. Thanks, Mary.
Yep.